Heart to Heart is brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I have an incredible young talent to share with you this morning, and I'm going to be pleased to welcome Travis Sanders to the show. I met Travis in my mediumship class in Cleveland a few weeks ago. He is incredibly genuine and such an accomplished medium at a young age. His story began at a very early age, but took a major turn at the age of 16 when a psychic reading changed the course of his life forever. Now at 25, Travis is a young but very accomplished psychic medium. Travis has been featured on both A&E's Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal, as well as Entertainment Tonight's The Insider. He has appeared on a variety of radio shows, including Paravision, Para-X, K-Rock, as well as CBS Radio. He is a certified Reiki teacher and has also received paraprofessional training in the psychic arts and is certified by Doreen Virtue, PhD, as well as has undergone training, as I have, with Lilydale Medium author Sharon Klingler. He's a wonderful young man, and I am so thrilled to be able to spend an hour chatting with him this morning. We would love if you all called into the studio as well. The number to chat is 717-637-0052. So, without further ado, welcome Travis.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Don't you love that big intro? And I know you feel like you're just, you know, regular guy.
Yeah, definitely.
But you're more than just a regular guy, Travis. That too.
A little bit.
Yeah, that too. In addition to that. So, you know, when did you first realize, you know, that something was different about you than some of your friends?
I think it was around middle school when I would start to say something that I saw or something that I felt, or I would say something and then it would happen, and then people would say to me, like, how did you know that? Or, you know, hey kid, you're kind of freaking me out. And then I realized that not everyone had visions, or not everyone felt things, or not everyone knew what was going to happen before it did. But up until that point, I just assumed that everyone had visions in their head, or you know, felt things, saw things like that. So I didn't know up until that point that there was anything really that different going on with me, even though I always sort of felt different from other people.
Right. But, you know, I think that's a lot that happens with children, you know, because they just think everybody is doing the same thing that they're doing, and they don't realize until they start talking to their friends and they get the kind of reactions that you get, that it's different. So it's just amazing to me. But do you think young people are opening up more at this time, or do you think it's just that with everything going on in the media and they're hearing more about it, that it doesn't strike them as, you know, that weird, so that they're more apt to talk about it? What's your take?
You know, I do think that, it definitely does seem like a lot of the younger generations are coming in more open. But I think it has to do, I mean, and I'm sure, like, you know, internet, radio, you know, you can turn on the TV at almost any given time of day and find a paranormal or a spiritual based TV show. So I do think that it kind of helps that it is more in people's heads and it is more available. But it does seem like a lot of the younger generations are coming in more in tune. And I really don't necessarily have an answer as to maybe why that is. I think that as a society, we are sort of reclaiming our spirit a little bit more and getting more in touch with that element. You know, people always talk about body, mind, and spirit. And I think that we're finally moving into a time where that is a little bit more balanced as a whole with people, or at least heading in that direction.
Yeah, I agree with you, Travis. It's probably more of a returning to that, because I think, you know, there was a time, you know, and going way back, you know, where people definitely were more tuned to what they were getting, you know, outside of their five regular senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think about all the things, you know, with Native Americans and Aborigines. And, you know, it's like I think everybody had or has that ability, and we just were more tuned to it because we had to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Technology has been a blessing, and that has really helped a lot of people communicate on deeper and faster levels. But in some ways, I think it sort of took us away from that natural communication that was inborn.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I have to smile about you saying that because I think, again, it's fabulous, but I think it's doing that again with kids because I can't tell you how often I see young people walking side by side and instead of just talking to each other, they're texting back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And you know, I'll even admit I'm guilty of that. It does seem like most people are glued to their cell phones. And in some ways, you know, even young kids that I see, you know, when I was a kid, you know, if you were bored or you were, you know, being rowdy or something, you know, your mom would send you outside to play. And now it seems like they want to just like plop an iPad in a kid's hand to keep them busy.
Yeah. And so it's a blessing and it's a curse, but, you know, it's taking us further and further away from that. And I think a lot of people now, and you're hearing that from top people, you know, people like even from Google and the Huffington Post and, you know, they're encouraging people to have some downtime away from their technology to give their spirit a chance to be heard.
Yeah, that's really wise, you know. Even myself, being that, you know, this is my business, this is my work, I have different apps on my phone, and a lot of them are social media. And it was during the class, you know, that we did together in Cleveland where I was really thinking, like, do I need to be that available to people? Do I really need to have, you know, every Facebook alert, every email, every text message, everything that readily available on my phone, or should I start to delete some of this stuff?
Oh, I think that's wonderful, Travis, because I think people do, you know, just as we say with everything with mediumship, we have to set boundaries. And so that we're not being scattered and we're not being pulled in every direction, and we have to do, you know, what's good for our spirit. And it's wonderful to hear you say that, because I think that goes not even just for mediums, for everybody. You have to set healthy boundaries.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now tell us a little bit. Now, you were on A&E's Psychic Kids. How old were you at that point?
I believe when I started filming that, I had just turned 19.
Wow. So what was that like to be filming for television?
You know, it was really, really fun. It happened in such a quick way. You know, a lot of people ask me, how did that come about? And I really don't honestly know for sure how that was found. I remember, like, I was working retail at the time, and I went home one night, and there was an email, and I didn't think too much of it, but I responded to it. They were looking for a youth for a docudrama series, and then, like, a week later, 2 weeks later or whatever, there were producers at the house, but the actual filming of it was really fun. You know, the producers, the crew, everyone was really wonderful. And I think one of the biggest things that I took away from that experience was a huge boost in confidence.
Oh, absolutely.
With that series, a lot of the kids were kids who were sort of afraid of their ability or didn't understand their ability. And I think where I was a little bit different was that by the time I was filming, I had already been reading publicly for several years. So, you know, there wasn't really that broken part for them to sort of fix and make better by the end of the episode. But in some of the challenges, like the missing person cases that we worked, it just really showed me that, you know, I could use this ability to help in a practical, grounded way.
Oh, so interesting. So they had you do different things. I didn't see the show, but they had you, gave you different things that you had to do, like missing persons and things like that.
Yeah, like each episode was a little bit different. I think one of the things that they did was they catered to each kid's strength or
okay. That makes sense.
I guess where they felt like each kid would really blossom in their ability. And so for me, one of the things that I expressed that I was interested in because of an experience that I had from touching a missing person's postcard was helping in missing persons or helping in sort of like the forensic aspect of it. So that was like, there are other little things that we did. When I filmed, we stayed in a haunted castle. So we did some things about, you know, sensing and feeling spirits that may have been there. But yeah, the primary focus was a missing person's case from a man in Columbus.
Oh, that's interesting. So was that surprising to you that you could actually feel this and then get some information from touching that? It's sort of like kinesthetic, you know?
Like the initial postcard that kind of led me into missing persons was just, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of us get all the time, just in our mailboxes that we don't think anything of. It was just like a, have you seen this person or whatever? You know, like I said, something that probably had come in the mail 100 times, but for whatever reason, this particular postcard stood out to me. And I remember, I was a teenager. So, and the other thing that I've noticed too was like during adolescence, you know, during puberty, my ability was sort of, rampant.
Well, that makes sense because that's the way we are when we're at that age.
Yeah. So a lot of the experiences that I was having on a psychic level were very intense sometimes, and there was never sort of like a rhyme or a reason as to why I had them. So when I touched this postcard, it started very visually. You know, I'm very feeling and sight based with how I work. But the thing that was really kind of surprising to me was that not only was I seeing in my mind a scene to what happened to this woman, but I was also seeing and feeling from both the perspectives of the victim and the victimizer at the same time.
That's interesting.
So it was really kind of a bizarre thing for me to wrap my mind around. But after that, missing persons was something that just sort of stuck with me. And little did I know that, you know, just a few years later, that for about 3 years, that would be the primary focus of my work.
Oh, so I didn't realize that, Travis. So you've worked with that a lot. Now, do you actually work with police departments?
I have in the past. In about 2010, I stepped away from missing persons because one of the cases that I worked in Orlando, I used to work with a team, and it was just very, it was highly media publicized, and it was a young girl who had died, a little toddler, and the circumstances around that whole case were just very sort of intense, you know, and on top of it, and one of the reasons too, I'm very sort of discerning with working missing persons and forensics mm-hmm. anymore is because at the time I was nearly subpoenaed into the trial for
as a witness
it was by the defense, and I truly felt that the person on trial was guilty. And so it was just very sort of emotionally stressing.
That would be so draining. Yes.
Yeah, and to me, you know, when I work, I just want to, you know, if I'm searching, I want to go out and search. If I'm giving information, I just want to give the information. But I'm not interested in
the drama.
The drama aspect of it. So it's not something that I've done for, you know, probably 3 or 4 years or so. And I do think at some point with probably a more on a case-by-case basis, I'll get pulled back to it. But I just had to have that mental and emotional break.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that, Travis, because that would be so draining. And talk about drama with each missing person. I mean, you have all the emotions of the family of that person. And I found it very interesting that you were also getting things from you know, the victimizer. That's just, so you're getting both sides of it. That must have been, you know, sort of traumatic for you to, it's like, hear, you know, both sides and what that person was thinking. What would make somebody do that?
Yeah, it's such an abstract feeling to experience both at the same time. It's a mixing up of, you know, this idea of right and wrong and black and white.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, well, that's interesting. So, well, that was good experience for you, and good experience for you from the TV side, because you never know when you're going to be back on TV. Because I told you, I said, you certainly, when I met you, I said, you just were such a young John Holland to me. I could just see you doing a show just like he did, too. So you have...
That's a super compliment.
Well, you have so much in your background already. And do we need to take a quick break, Gil? All right. So we just need to take our quick 9:30 break, and we'll be right back with Travis.
Heart to Heart is being presented by Zunich Advisory Services. We'll be back with more after this.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Well, my guest this morning is Travis Sanders, a clairvoyant medium, and we're talking about some of his wonderful experiences because he got tuned very young and has had some incredible experiences already on television and with working with police on forensic cases. So, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, Travis, you know, I get information from those on the other side and spirit guides and angels. And, you know, how's that work for you as well?
When I read for a person, I always say when someone comes to me, whether it's to connect with a loved one that's crossed over or whether it's just for guidance in their life, I say I never know what's going to come out of my mouth until I open it. It may be past, present, future, loved one's health. But oftentimes when I read, I'll say, you know, they're telling me this, they're showing me this, or they want me to talk about. And whenever I say they, it's simply for me like a reference to whomever or wherever my information is coming from in spirit. So for me, part of my belief system is spirit guides or the concept of spirit guides. And so when I'm reading for someone, I trust that if I'm connecting for them, that the information is either coming from my guides, their guides, or a combination of both. But if I'm connecting and communicating with loved ones on the other side, if I'm saying they, then that's usually who I'm referencing. But I you know, early on in my work, I would be reading for someone. And when I started out as a teenager doing readings at little psychic fairs and stuff, I used cards. So I think it confused people when as I was turning these cards and giving the reading, that I would say, they're telling me or they're showing me, because I thought that they either thought that I was referring
right,
to my
cards. Right, they thought
the
cards are talking to you.
Yeah.
Well, they are.
No,
but...
it's spirit.
Yeah. So, all right. So, you know, because, you know, I've also used that phrase, and I'll also have people say, well, who do you mean by they? And like, who is that exactly? And
right.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm not sure, because you know how things come in so quickly. And as we've been taught by Sharon, and I try to remember that, not to link things, so that I may be getting something from one of their loved ones on the other side, but the next thing that comes in may be from their spirit guide.
Absolutely.
You know, so I try to keep them separate as well, you know, so that, you know, I'm not confusing them as well. But, you know, most people, they're just happy for the information, and they know it's coming from a loving source, and you can tell by what's coming through. So, you know, they're not that particular about who. They know that what they're getting is for their highest good.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's all in that intention.
Yeah, and I always put that out, too, because I always tell people I don't get a lot of drama, because I'm not looking for drama. I'm looking for, you know, what's for their highest good, and usually that is what comes through.
Yep.
Yeah. So now, Travis, how has doing this work changed your life?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's funny. I have a friend of mine who... Her mother was one of my first teachers who I did the Psychic Kids show with. And so she kind of grew up in this psychic family. You know, her mom is like a fourth generation spiritualist. And she just recently sort of took up psychic work herself. So she's one of the few people that I can talk to about what we do, because it was sort of normal or common.
Right. She really understands.
And so we were talking the other day about how it's very mind blowing to us that there are people who live their life and they don't have that intuitive voice, or, I mean, they have it, but they don't hear it. They don't acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. Because to me, I feel like if someone were to take that ability away or take my perceptions that link to the other side and kind of shut it off, I would feel like I would be walking through life blind. And we always have this kind of ongoing joke between us, like muggles, like, you know, that would be horrible to be a muggle. Because to us, it's such a foreign concept. And in so many ways, too, like with the mediumship especially, even though I did a little bit with mediumship when I was younger, it really didn't take off and start to blossom with me until about 2.5 years ago. And while I would be doing my readings for people, all of a sudden, you know, mom or dad or grandma would burst into the reading and kind of take over the session, the direction of the session. And even though I've had a belief that there is life after death for as long as I can remember, I think what's really happened, even as of recently, in my connection with those on the other side and in my readings, that belief, I think, has really changed to knowing. And the more that I engage the mediumship, the more that my views on life and life afterlife have changed profoundly. And it just shows me, too, you know, when you have people coming to you and you're connecting with their loved ones and they're telling you things like, the things that they love, but then you're also getting messages of things that they regretted and things that they're sorry for. Right. It really makes you realize that life is just incredibly short.
Mm-hmm. I know, and I always tell that to people. It's like most of the time, you know, we get thank yous and apologies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, thank yous and apologies, because people have that opportunity now to come back and say things that they didn't get a chance to say or didn't take the opportunity to say while they were still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's amazing. You know, people come through with such telling messages, and it's you know, doesn't it always sort of blow your mind a little?
It does. You know, there are some times where I have to sit down and be like, is this really what I do? Like,
yeah. You know. Yeah. And just the things that come through, it's like I do the same thing, Travis. I you know, and then usually I get in my car and I say, oh my gosh, I just love what I do. Because when you see the impact it makes on people, some people who this is the first piece they've had with something for years. And, you know, and I've had people come up to me later who like will see me like in a restaurant or something and just say, I just have to tell you, you know, that reading with you was life changing for me.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Doesn't it make you feel good?
I feel incredibly blessed. It's, you know, it's a very humbling sort of experience. And each time, you know, that someone comes in for a session, and it tends to be especially more geared in mediumship, even though I love the psychic aspect of it, I always feel like I take something from that too. Like, even though it's their reading, it's their message, it's healing for them, I just always feel so grateful that not only do I get to get up every day, but I get to do what I love to do and what I'm passionate about. And I see that it helps people. And, you know, each time that someone gets some sort of healing out of it, I just feel like it gives me some sort of a healing too, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's true. It's like with all healing modalities, just like I know that you're also a Reiki master, but when you do Reiki on people, we get the healing from Reiki as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just sort of the way the healing situation goes. So I know you were talking about you can't at this point in your life imagine what it would be like to not have your intuition to work with. And I know that you do some teaching. So tell me a little bit about when you're teaching people about intuition, what are some of the first things that you teach them to help them open to their own intuition?
The first thing that I always start with, I do, you know, one of my favorite classes to teach is a 3-day psychic development intensive. And on the very first thing, on the very first day, I always make people, I have them get out a sheet of notebook paper, and I'm like, okay, anything that's in your head right now, any worries that you have, anything that might be going on, worries about insecurities that you're not going to be able to do this and that, write it all out. Take, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I don't care how old or how relevant or whatever the thought is. Put it down. And for me, I think if we are going to cultivate the sixth sense, I mean, it's almost ironic sometimes that most people are looking to develop a sixth sense when they don't engage the five senses that they have.
Okay, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, so in order, I think, for us to really acknowledge the voice of our spirit, we have to clear out the crap. And so that means identifying thought patterns and belief systems that aren't serving you, and identifying old attachments that aren't serving you. And I even encourage people, when they are really ready to develop their intuition, I'll even say, you know what, go home, go through your closet, go through the junk drawer, clean out under the bed, because we have to make space for awareness, and our physical environment is always a reflection of what's going on internally. So after I have them sort of clear out what isn't serving them or what is sort of hindering them, then I put an emphasis on honoring the space within. So for a lot of us, that's meditation. But one thing that I have always done for as long as I can remember, even before I was a kid and knew what some of this stuff was I always had a special place, which has now become an altar for me. So I always just encourage people to set up a little area, whether it be with pictures of their loved ones or, you know, objects from nature, but just something that really reminds them of their spirit so they can touch into it with, you know, every day. And as they do, know that spirit is present with them when they're in that space.
Oh, I like that. I like that because, again, what you're doing is teaching them how to use their five senses. Before they try to use the sixth sense. And I like that, clearing out the worry stuff. You know, I often tell people to just mentally think about all those things and put them in like a big old sack and fill up that sack. And then I have everybody visualize taking it out the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, so when you're having all those worries, are you asking them just about their ability to actually develop their sixth sense, or just everything that's in their way?
Everything that's in their mind. I think too, a big thing that robs people from not being able to tap in as effectively with their abilities is both mediumship and clairvoyance is very in the moment. And a lot of people aren't present because their emotions are stuck in the past and their mind is stuck in the future. So even, you know, in the back of your head, that grocery list for what you have to get before you go home to your husband at the end of class that night, that's something that I want people to be able to completely let go of and just fully be in the moment and fully be engaged for that 5 hours or whatever we might have together.
Oh, and I think that's perfect because that really gets them centered. And that's a good way to start. What kinds of little exercises do you do with them to help them realize that they're already getting it?
One thing that we do, and one of the exercises that a lot of people seem to really like is I do a psychometry exercise where I take letters that I have, old letters from one particular family member, and I put them in envelopes and I give them to each participant. And I just have them tell me, you know, and one technique too that I give people that they really seem to like when they're doing something like that, because the objective is to tune in and get as much information about the person that wrote the letter via your sense of touching it. And your psychic mind can interpret it however it wants through visions or pictures or feelings, but the key into it is the touch. So I always tell people, especially, you know, because as a teacher, I think to be an effective teacher, you have to know where someone is at in their process. And so when I see someone really sort of struggling with that concept, I always tell them, you know what, in this environment, in this classroom, it's a completely safe space. There's no one judging you. There's no one, you know, grading you. So make it up. If you don't know,
right,
give yourself permission to just make it up.
I always tell them that too. It's play. Let's just play.
Yeah, exactly. And it should be fun, and it can be fun.
Yeah, so I love that. All right, well, believe it or not, I told you, Travis, this would go so quick for us. But so before we run out of time, we have about 2 minutes. I know your website has tons of wonderful information. So tell everybody your website and your phone number and how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, the website is just www.psychictravissanders.com. If you're a social media junkie like I'm trying not to be, facebook.com/psychictravissanders. And if you're interested in setting up an appointment or any sort of discussion, my email, which is the most direct way to contact me, is travispsychic@yahoo.com.
Okay, wonderful. And you do readings and things like that by phone as well, right, Travis?
Absolutely.
Right. Excuse me. So people can get a hold of you to do that as well. So this has just been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And, you know, and I love some of these things that you do with your class, because I always tell people, you know, we're all psychic. We all have this ability. We always have. And the more that we acknowledge it, the stronger it becomes.
Definitely.
Yeah, so you find that with your students as well, don't you?
Absolutely. The more that you live it every day, the more that it really becomes a part of who you are.
And I had to smile as you were talking about clearing out to make space, because I know my husband listens to the show, and he'll be laughing too, because that is one of my worst habits. I am such a clutter bug.
Aww.
So I'll have to keep my space clean so I stay clean and clear. So, all right, Travis, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. You've just been such a joy.
Thank you so much. You have a beautiful day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
We'll be back with more Heart to Heart coming up after this.
Okay, everybody, we're back, and I just want to thank Travis once again. What an incredibly young talent, and so genuine, and I just loved having him on here. So I encourage you guys to take a look at his website. He shares a lot of good information for people who are looking to find out more for themselves about psychic development. All right, so get ready, because next week we're going back to the animal world, and my guests will be the duo Debbie Jones and Sheila Buchanan, founders of Beyond the Bag Pet Nutrition and Wellness. So you'll really love these two. Debbie and Sheila utilize their combined 15 years of experience in various fields of holistic pet health to offer expert advice about how to improve the health of your dog or cat through diet. And they also work with some veterinarians. So it's wonderful to have their expertise, you know, with us to talk about different things with us. And they're also going to talk about the environment and how to present a harmonious family life with your pets as well. So they offer holistic pet care advice that is backed by certification in clinical pet nutrition from the Academy of Natural Health Sciences, canine massage from Integrated Touch Therapy, and family herbalist certification from the Clayton College of Natural Health. So these two gals have a lot of science and a lot of certifications behind them. So they're going to actually be empowering all us pet parents with a lot of good education when they're on next Tuesday. So another thing, just to remind everybody, Travis and I talked about it this morning, opening your intuition and some of the things he does that are very similar to some of the things that I do. And I have a class coming up on Saturday, September 19th from 9 to 1 at the Eichelberger Professional Center in Hanover. And it's 4 hours for the first steps in spiritual and psychic development for you, opening your intuitive voice, discovering how intuition works for you in your daily life, and learning how to stop doubting yourself, because as we talked about this morning, we all get intuitive messages. We all get those intuitive hits. And the more we acknowledge them, the stronger they get all the time. And we'll talk about clearing and grounding and protecting your energy and home space. So please join me on Saturday. You can register or get more information by calling my office, 717-968-5289. Again, that number is 717-968-5289. Okay, everybody. So we'll be looking to see you next week with Debbie and Sheila, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.